So, hi, have you ever wondered how you could encrypt your images directly on your DSLR cameras? If so, then my colleague Georg Bernhard and me had the opportunity, had the opportunity to dive into this whole thing in the course of a mandatory project at the TU Vienna. So our agenda for today is background and the idea, why we come to this idea to do this, then a little bit analysis, what we found and what would be great, then some experiments, then we are going to present our prototype, hopefully with a working live demo, and last but not least, the conclusion and the summary of the whole project. So background and the idea. So first of all, the goal is basically to the pictures which will be created by a DSLR camera as soon as possible to encrypt them and store them safely on the SD card. Why? First of all, because of privacy protection. That's why we are presenting this here at the Privacy Week. And second of all, because of plausible deniability. So if you don't know what plausible deniability is, it's basically the ability to deny a fact in a way that you don't arise suspicion. Let's present this with an example. For example, you happen to be in North Korea and you happen to make an image of Kim Jong-un kissing Donald Trump. I hope we don't get nuked for this. So you want to have this image and you want to get out of North Korea without ending up dead or in a gulag or any other combination of these two. So you do something for this, and this is basically plausible deniability that you can do something against this. And last but not least, we found an open letter from some journalists and some photographers, which was written for camera manufacturers, explicitly asking for this feature in cameras. The manufacturers answered some general thing that, yeah, we are going to check if it is plausible to do it and market value and yada, yada, yada. But nothing specifics. So the analysis. We found several solutions or possible things to be able to do this on your own without having this in a camera. The first one was Intel Edison. Intel Edison was advertised as a tiny little computer with reasonably enough power, like 1 gig RAM, 500 megahertz CPU, and in a format of an SD card, which we were like very happy about it because this is exactly what you need. You can put it into a camera and implement crypto on it, and it works. And we checked the CPU specs, and it could have do AES as well because it had these AES opcodes. Yes. It turns out the end product is not in an SD card format, so we can't really use it because it's slightly bigger than an SD card, and it has this missing, it does not miss this corner. And we were like, okay, yeah, maybe we could just cut it off and it could still work. Turns out we found some X-ray images of it and you can't just cut that corner off. It won't work. So don't do it. Unless you want to break your Intel Edison. The next thing we found was a master thesis from two Swedish dudes end of last year. And they basically took an FPGA, a field programmable gateway array. This is basically a lot of logical gates like AND, OR, XOR, and things like that. And you put it between the mass storage itself and the interface of an SD card. So the device into which you put this special SD card will think, okay, this is just a normal SD card, but as soon as you push some data through it, it will get encrypted by the FPGA and will be stored on the mass storage. And the great thing about FPGAs is that they are very fast, actually ridiculously fast. So like you can implement AES with like, I don't know, 100 megabytes per second with FPGA, so it's really great. Yeah, why would that be great? As you can see, it would be independent of the camera manufacturers. You just put it into any device and it just magically works. There is a scientific paper about it, which is great. However, we both lack the knowledge of FPGA programming and hardware designing, so yeah, shame on us, we did not do this project. However, the paper claims that it would be faster than 1.25 megs per second. Fun fact, the two Swedish students never implemented this thing, just theoretically did this and simulated the whole system. Yes. So the third one which we found was Magic Lantern. I don't know if you know it or not. It is basically an alternative firmware for some selected Canon cameras. And basically what you do is you can boot Linux on a Canon camera without reflashing the ROM of it. You just initiate a firmware update, then a boot flag will be set, which will lead to the thing that the Linux or Magic Lantern will be booted from the SD card every time you turn on your camera. And it already has a crypto module. We were like, okay, let's check it out later. Then we found some SD cards which have the ability to spawn a Wi-Fi network. And there are some already done Chinese apps in the Google Store with which you can download the images from the camera to the smartphone. And we were like, okay, if we could reverse engineer these apps, we could build a better one with crypto in it and store the images on the SD card safely encrypted in a database. And then later on delete the original ones on the SD card. Yeah, it would be great because the crypto on the smartphone is reasonably faster than on such a really embedded device. And last but not least, this is how it looks like, actually, such an SD card. It turns out that these little SD cards have a fully functioning BusyBox Linux server in them. And being a poorly implemented and cheap Chinese product, the security is not really well. So they had like open telnet ports and root users without password or something like that. So you can easily hack it, and we've already found such a hack. You can read it if you can Spanish, or I don't know, maybe this one was in English. How you can boot your own Linux BusyBox, basically. Yeah, you can initiate a firmware update because the firmware image is just a packed binary, and you can depack it and change it and repack it. And if it is less than 8 megabytes, it will be flashed because they don't check any signatures or things like that. So, yeah. So, and we were like, okay, we could implement some service on it and run it natively, and this is great because we would have a micro SD card put into this card and you have a lot of storage. So, our experiments. As I said, Intel Edison was a failure as designed, so we didn't check it. The next one was at the FPGA where we lacked the knowledge, so we throw it away. So we basically experimented with the last three options, so Magic Lantern and the two Wi-Fi SD card thingies. Magic Lantern. So yeah, we had some problems with the cross-compiling and set the whole build environment because they use AutoHell, aka the GNU AutoTool suite, which makes everything very complicated and not easy to configure if you don't know it. However, at last but not least, we made it work and we could build it. The only thing was Magic Lantern uses Mercurial as versioning tool, and we are not really a fan of Mercurial, so we were like, okay, we just port it to Git and we put it into GitHub and it will magically work, and we did it. And then we deleted Mercurial from our systems and we tried to build it, and it turns out the dudes had Mercurial commands within the MIG files. So you can't build it without Mercurial, which is kind of lame, we think. So, last but not least, we managed to get work to build it and boot it from our 600D. The encryption works. However, we could not decrypt the files because we don't know why. We posted a call for help in the official Magic Lantern forum, but yeah, it did not really get answered. So now a video about it. Where can I find it? Okay. Yeah, so. You turn the camera on, it already has Magic Lantern, you go in and allow some modules like the crypto module down there and the keyboard modules, which you need for the password. Then you go and enable encryption, set your super secret, super strong password like 4 A's, which you can not really read, but whatever. And that's it. You enable the encryption, and it works. You can make images. And as long as the images are still in the cache, you can review them through the gallery. As soon as the cache is flushed, you won't see, the images get encrypted, and yeah, everything is fine, and you're happy. This is what we see right now. Yeah, it is still in the cache, you can see it. Turn it off, because with this you can initiate a cache flush. And it works. And now you turn it on again, go to the gallery, you can see the image as you would expect it, because it is encrypted and you did not set right now the password, just like you would expect. Then you go, set your password again, and then go back to the gallery, and it works, as you can see on the LED, but it does not work, so we don't really know why. Yeah. So that's about Magic Lantern. So the next one, performance of Magic Lantern. These values are from the forum of Magic Lantern, from the official, so from the original maintainer of this module. He claimed that he can reach with Cha-Cha 20, so 4.5 megs per second, and with XDEA 0.8, and with LFSR, which is, LFSR stands for Linear Feedback Shift Register, which is very fast, but it's not secure, and it is the default. Don't use LFSR. Yeah, so these are the values. We, however, don't know if these are included or excluded the I/O operations, which are mostly the things which make everything slow. Yeah, the next one was our Android project, Wi-Fi SD CryptoLocker. It is an Android app. You take an image with your DSLR, then sync it with your password, encrypt it on the smartphone, and then last but not least, store it in a database. Everything is cool. You have fast crypto because your smartphone has reasonably more resources than an embedded system. You can securely preserve it in a database, and it is independent from camera manufacturers. However, the transfer rate is relatively slow, like 500 kilobytes per second, which is not that a problem with JPEGs, but as soon as you have raw images with 80 megs or something, it is going to be a problem. Secondly, you have additional transfer, which might be insecure, and like we see with VPA2 nowadays. Yes, and we have a platform-dependent app because I'm not going to implement anything for iOS, so sorry about it. Shame on me. Yeah, and it turns out that to delete SD files on the SD card is not really possible. As I said, we reverse engineered some of the Android apps, and we reverse engineered the API calls, but we did not find anything regarding the deletion of files. And if the card is not hackable, like the PQIR card, then you don't can't really do anything about it. And yeah, so it you have to have a PQIR card to do stuff. So the prototype. So the original idea was you take the image with your camera, which stores the unencrypted image on the mass storage, then the PQIR card reads this original image, encrypts it, and stores it on the SD card and deletes the original file. Yeah, just like what I said. And for this, you have three services. One detector, which runs as a daemon. Then you have the crypto module and the key generator. So, detector itself, it is started as daemon by the help of init. As I said, it is a fully functioning Linux server, so you can do anything. The kernel is a bit old, but that's another issue. It searches for images, and as soon as it finds new images, it encrypts them. Interesting thing, it constantly remounts the SD card. And if you know C programming, you would ask me, yeah, but why don't you just use inotify, which is exactly for this, which is a library call from C, where you can basically say, okay, I want to be notified if in this directory something file dependent changes, so like new file or something like that. However, in this setup, you have two systems, the camera itself and the card. And they don't know about each other, however, both of them write and read to the same block device, which lead to the fact that they don't expect that anything else would write or read from that block device, so they don't look for changes. That's why the only way to find the new images, you have to remount the SD card partition. So, the crypto SD, so the crypto module, it uses Lipsodium, which is a lightweight and very fast crypto for cryptographic algorithms using the SASA family, like SASA ChaCha20. And we use these two library calls, so to say. However, the second one is not really optimal. We also had a comment from the original developer in GitHub. He's the one, you can't read it, but it says that we should not use the second one because it does not provide any authentication, so bits could be flipped without detecting, but until now we were too lazy and we had no time to use the better one. So it is secure, but yeah, bits could be flipped and then you would get at decryption wrong files. This is the usage output, which is not that interesting. The thing is, as you can see, we use a secret key and a public key. I'm going to talk about it, why we opted for this solution. And last but not least, the third service is a key generator. As you would expect from the name, it generates public and private keys. Yes. So, demo. Hopefully it will work. So the idea was that I take an image from the publicum, but I heard the house rules today and it is not really allowed, so I'm going to take a picture about him because he said it's okay. And we are going to encrypt, so the camera is going to encrypt this this image and then we are going to decrypt it. And during this process, so my colleague just logs in as root, then he calls tail to watch the log output. And as you can see, the daemon is already working. And it constantly remounts the partition. Now I take an image of him. And hopefully sooner or later, the camera detects this image. Like now. And now it begins to encrypt it, as you can see, and the crypto part is already done. It just writes out the file to the system, which takes a long time. And I'm going to talk about it later why. But now about the crypto itself. So How does the crypto works? We basically generate for every image a unique random key with which we encrypt the image itself. Then we write out the encrypted image to a file. Then we encrypt this random key with a public key of the user, and we append this encrypted key to the file. And last but not least, we append the nonce, which is a public, so it is basically the salt, so you don't have to take care about encryption of this. We append this to the file as well. And why we use crypto public keys? Because this way you don't have to store any password in clear text on the card itself. Because otherwise, you would need the same key on the system as well, somehow, somewhere stored, and somebody could hack it and read out, and you can, you could not make sure that it were so it is secure. That's why public key, because the private key is on your laptop where it is secure, and at the border you can say, yeah, I don't have the private key with me, so you can't decrypt it. Sorry about that. So that's about the crypto itself. And after this, of course, the original one gets deleted. And yeah, it already encrypted the file which we take. Now we just copy the file itself from the camera to the locker machine. Hopefully it will work as well. Yep, we're just downloading it. Then we are going to call file to check if it is really encrypted and I'm not just lying to you, because I could do that, but I'm not that mad, so I'm not that bad. Yeah, so you can see this is the DSF, I don't know, something, this is down here, and if you call the file for this this file, then you can verify that yes, just call it. You can see it is just data, so Linux does not recognize any reasonable file for it. Then we call the decryption routine for this file, which puts out a valid JPEG, hopefully. If we call file again, make clear, please, first. Yes, file, punct out, yes. You can see it is a valid JPEG image file. Then we move it, because the viewer does not like not JPEG names. Yep. And here is the original one, decrypted. So that was the live demo. I'm very happy that it worked. I had doubts. Yeah, this is basically just the log output from a previous one. I already told you everything. So it detects a new file, does the encryption. If it is done, it deletes the original one and then goes back to remounting and detecting new files. Yes, the decryption, we already saw it. The performance for the encryption itself, we measured around 2.5, so 2.6 megabytes per second, which would be okay, but not that great. However, if we consider the I/O operations as well, it sinks to 0.57 megabytes per second, which is not that fast. Actually, it is very slow. But we can't really do anything about it. We tried class 10 SD cards. It did not really make any difference. We tried. We did not try the speed class after the class 10 cards, because we don't have that much money. We are just poor students. So yeah, it might make a difference, but we don't really think so. So the results for this prototype, it is independent from camera manufacturers. As you can see, we just used some Fuji camera, but we tested it with a Canon camera and with another Samsung, I guess. Whatever, so it works on everything. You can configure it reasonably fast. You just have to copy like 4 files and that's it. The price is around 40 euros and you don't need any hardware knowledge. So you don't have to build FPGAs and things like that. The performance itself depends on the camera. So some cameras give more voltage to the card, some less, which leads to different speed of the encryption. As I already told you, no iNotify, which is kind of sad because it would have been more elegant than remounting a partition. If you simultaneously write to the SD card, like encrypting a file and taking a new image, this will lead to errors because I said these are two independent systems which don't know anything about each other. So yeah, don't do that. Wait like a minute or something after you took an image and that's it. Of course, your battery life is reduced and we have problems with big pictures because this card only has like 32 megs of RAM. From which you can only use like 20, the rest is reserved for the system itself, and the pictures will be loaded as whole file into the memory, and then will be encrypted in the if you reserve more memory than you actually have, then you are gonna have some bad day. We could have implemented that the file is read in chunks and encrypted it and then write them out, and with that, it would be better, but then you would have more I/O operations, which would make the whole thing more slow, and yeah, that's why we didn't do that. But for JPEGs, it works. Conclusion. So there is more than one way to skin a cat, as you have seen. Our proof of concept has some weaknesses. First of all, you call it the performance, it's not that great. And second, we call RM for deleting files, which is not a secure way to delete files. However, we can't use Shred, which would be secure, but it does not work securely on flash storage because of wear protection of the flash firmware. You might not override the cells which contain information about the image. So if somebody would dump the whole content of the memory, they could still reproduce the images. So that's why we think that the manufacturer should take care of this by, I don't know, soldering a crypto chip on the main board and push the images through that so that the camera basically stores an encrypted image and not just the original, which will be encrypted. Future work would be, for example, that the camera signs an image, which would be great in case of photographing contests where you are not allowed as photographer to edit the files after you took them. And this way you could make sure that the photo is really the original one, because otherwise the signature would not check out. And I guess that's basically it. Thank you very much for your attention. At this QR code, so this basically leads to this site where you can find slightly more information about the whole project and the source code from everything which we did. You can make pull requests if you want. We might merge it. We might just abandon the whole thing. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have time for a few questions. Are there any?
I'm wondering if you know the guys from the Axiom project who do this video camera. And they have, I think, a lot they can do with their camera. And if you see a possibility to work with them, they do it for videos, for example.
So, I've been to the Maker Faire in April and I met the guys from Axiom, and at that point in time we became aware that this project exists. I also talked with him about encryption, and they know Magic Lantern and they know the problem of performing encryption on cameras. I think it's a great project because it's open source and I think also open hardware, but it might be quite expensive. So this is probably not the best solution for private persons, but it's a very professional device. So I think it's a good project. What we wanted to achieve was something more cheap and convenient. But thanks a lot for the question.
Okay, are there any more questions? If not, thanks again for the talk. And here, the next talk will be about personal privacy in wireless emissions.